Good afternoon, warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm afraid I did not take my PET test, so I'm going to speak with my mask on. Elder Chong took his PET test yesterday so that he could preach without his mask and sing without the mask. I did not, because it would be too troublesome. I have to go on Saturday night in order for me to qualify all the way past Sunset Gospel Hour. Unless I take twice, one for the morning and afternoon, and then take again after the service for the sunset, which will be very inconveniencing. And so, speak with the mask on is the best. We continue our study on how to submit one to another. That was the Lord's teaching in the closing arguments of Ephesians 4. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Teaching us how to forgive, how to submit, how to love, how to care. That's what we have been studying. Submitting yourselves one to another, chapter 4, verse 21, for the wives, for the husband, for the children, fathers, mothers. Last week, two weeks ago, we touched on servants, that's employees. And this afternoon, employers, masters. Employers, that name alone, that word alone, conjures a lot of meaning. An employer is a term used to describe people who control the lives of others. More often than not, the instrument they use to control is called salary. And so because you pay these employees of yours a certain amount of remuneration, you basically control their lives, their behavior, and their conduct. You tell them to come to office by this time, and you can leave only by this time, and they will have to comply. If they do not, that instrument called remuneration could be the yardstick that will tell them, I better behave. And once they are in your office during those few hours, you can tell the person where to go and what to do. Please go to this other company, and then talk to this other person, and then try to get this project done or that business done or whatever it is. And that person will quietly obey. You don't have to ask him, is it okay if you go? Would you feel like going? You just command. You just tell the person. The person would go because of the instrument called remuneration, the salary. And if you want this person to fly overseas because you don't feel like flying, especially during the pre-COVID times when we can fly so readily and easily, and he will have to go. He will have to change his plans with his family if he had made any plans. And again, if you find that he is not very ready to go, you may improve the instrument, the salary, the remuneration, with a little bit of extra or bonus. And the person will be enticed to go. That is the meaning of the word employer. And very, very few of us will end up as employers. Most of us, I believe, we will simply go through life as an employee. And those who want to be your own boss, controlling the lives of people using remuneration, the world will call you an entrepreneur. Right? Start your own business. A very big word. I can't even spell it if you were to ask me. It's a difficult word to spell. Entrepreneur, right? It's even harder to pronounce. But it's a nice term, isn't it, to walk around and think that you are an entrepreneur, or people will call you, oh, there goes a very successful businessman or entrepreneur. He started this business out of nothing. An employer. a very, very nice term to have. Conjuring a lot of power and control over the lives of others. And if your company is large, it's even more significant. But what we see here is more than just an employer. We use the term how to be a Christian employer because we do not have any more, in our context, a master-slave relationship. This is a master-slave relationship, but he is more than just an employer. He is someone in between an employer and a king. And his number of slaves working in his farm is his small little fiefdom, where he controls. Fief are servants. He is the owner, he is the master, he is the lord. And so he not only controls your life, but the lives of your family, and then also the land and the property that you work in. And he can dictate whatever terms he desires. And because it is a slave-master relationship, and as a slave, you are, like what we talked about 2 weeks ago, worse than an animal, a cattle. You are probably treated worse than a cattle because at least a cattle is worth more than you. It's bigger, stronger, worth more money. You are just a piece of meat to be used, to be beaten, and sometimes to even be killed, and you have no right of your own. And that would be it. Now, this was the mentality of a master in those days, in the time of the Roman Empire, where the law will always be on the side of the master, because a slave is not a person. He is just a slave with no right of his own. And so therefore, there will be no provision for such an individual. Now, of course, if Israel was a sovereign nation, living in the promised land where they can make their own laws, the law of God regarding slaves are very, very good. It is very, very balanced. It protects them. It keeps them safe. And there will be no abuse. Please do not always think that slaves are bad. You find them in the scripture. And you know the biblical reason, I'm sure, why laws must be provided for these slaves. Because there are quite a number who would like to believe in Jehovah as their personal Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because it is a national witness, they have to join the nation to be seen as the people of God, like Ruth. She had to get out of Moab. She has to migrate and live in Israel in order for her to be seen as part of God's people. But you and I know that the land of promise was never meant for anyone outside of the 12 tribes. So if you have been a millionaire in your own country and you have to give that up to join them, the only job or trade that you could do is to be a servant. You can own land, it belongs to the 12 tribes, and you are not part of it. It's a spiritual nation with a spiritual witness. And that's why God provided laws and regulation to protect slaves, all kinds of slaves. But in the time of the Roman Empire, Israel was not a sovereign nation. They cannot apply the biblical law to regulate their behavior and conduct unless they choose to do so voluntarily. Because you are the master, these are your slaves, you have the right and the power to treat your own slaves differently without obeying the very strict and draconian laws of the Romans. You have the liberty. And based upon this liberty, the Lord now appeals to Christian employers or Christian masters. Because the Roman law is like any law concerning slaves. You have no rights, plain and simple. It is not from God, it is from man, and you and I know how evil and wicked man can be. And many of these slaves are just simply defeated and conquered enemies of Rome. Why treat them nicely? They try to destroy, they try to kill us, and so now, let them be our slaves, and you can do whatever you want with them. And so now the Lord is appealing to any master who has become a Christian. Will you be different from all your other masters? Will you be different now that you are born again so that everyone will see the change in your life? Before salvation, you were this kind of master. After salvation, now you are this kind of master as a Christian. Will you be different? Will you make a very clear and marked distinction because you are a child of God now? And therefore, as a child of God, it must also impact your position as a Christian employer. And so, first and foremost, masters, do the same thing unto them. What does it mean by the phrase, do the same thing as unto them? That means, do the same thing as the servants before. What did they do? They did everything as unto Christ, as unto the Lord. Right? You see that in the last part of verse 5. You see that in the verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ. Verse 7. With good will doing service as to the Lord. Verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. So that's what it means in verse 9, the first part. Do the same thing also, basically, as unto the Lord. And so he is appealing based upon a relationship that he has now with Christ. Just like all the other relationships. The Christian wife, only a Christian can do that. A Christian husband, a Christian employee. Only Christians, employees, Christian husbands can do what the Bible instructs them here. And it's no different for the master. This is a spiritual exercise. And since only Christians can do that, and so the Lord's appeal is, if you call yourself a Christian, Mr. Employer, then this is not an option, an alternative for you to pick and choose. This is something you must now become. Because you say that you are a Christian, that you must now do this as unto the Lord. And so the first thing the Lord now tells you to do is forbear threatening. In other words, stop. Leave off threatening. That's how master-slave work. Threaten. You do not do this, you do not do that, beat. You still want to disobey, whip. If you still want to disobey, kill. Plain and simple. Threatening. Threaten to get things done. They have the power. That's the nature of the name, employer, master. And therefore, their threats carry weight. Their threats are not empty vessels making noise. They are backed up by the whole Roman law. They are backed up by every other master. And they want to set you as an example for all the other slaves to be well behaved. And so using threats has always been very successful and has always been the norm. And so the first thing that the Lord had to deal with concerning the Christian employer or the master in this case, stop threatening. Do not use threats to get your employees, even though they are unbelievers. Remember, Christian wives behave like this. The Bible did not say only to Christian husband, to any husband. For the Christian husband, this is what you must do to your wife. Didn't say Christian wife. Love as Christ loved the church and gave his life. Same for the employee. Didn't say only to Christian employer. This is the responsibility and duty of the Christian employer, regardless of whether your slaves are believers or not. Do not use threat anymore. So that for those who are Christian slaves, they will be treated therefore by you as family. Which was basically the heart and soul of the Apostle Paul's writing to Philemon concerning Onesimus. Treat him as family. He accepted Christ with me or through me when he was in Rome. I'm sending him back to you, which is basically to fulfill all righteousness. He ran away as an unbeliever. But God had his way of saving this servant. And while he met with me in Rome, he became a Christian. And now he is returning to you. Treat him well. Do not kill him, because the law says any runaway slave can be killed. This is to stop all other slaves that he probably would have and set a standard. You run away like Onesimus, you'll be killed too. But now Paul says, I want you to swim against the tide. I want you to do something different. Don't punish him, don't kill him. Receive him as a brother. For my sake, Paul says, probably Philemon was one of Paul's converts. Put a debt on me. Whatever debt he has against you, he owes you, put it on me. On my account. You know how difficult and how hard it must be for him to be so different? To not use threats, and threats has always been the norm and the very successful method of keeping every slave in check. Because slaves could easily run away if they so choose to do so. The Roman Empire is so huge. Just like Onesimus could run all the way to Rome. It was a very difficult thing for Paul to write to the employer, to the master. Stop using threats. Then what else can I use to replace it? Right? If you don't use threat, what can I use? Right? Threats include beating, incarceration, ultimately death. Right? That's what threats are. Mild rebuke, you don't want. Stronger rebuke, you still do not want. Beating, still do not want. Then worse. I can take your life. And these are all threats. But if I do not use threats, what do I use then? Kindness. Kindness? You mean gentle coaxing and talking and be compassionate and kind? But these are slaves. Will they know how to react and respond to kindness? They have always learned how to respond to threats. For Christian employers, don't use mammon as the threat to get your employees to do what you want. Can you use reasoning, coaxing, compassion, understanding, not threats? Very tough, isn't it? Even for our context, where you do not have the power of a master. You and I know that employees, especially unbelieving employees, they have no other motivation except dollars and cents. That had been our way too before salvation. And so, for you not to use the remuneration as a carrot or as a stick, use your life of holiness, fairness, justice, honesty as the new way to look after your employees, whether they're believers or not. You know, sometimes we get confused. We think that Christian employer and Christian employee must have some form of favoritism, right? Because we are family, right? God's family, of course. He is a Christian, I'm a Christian, so therefore, among him and other unbelieving employees, I should treat him specially, he should be treated differently. You better not do that. Please don't do that. You must treat everyone fairly and justly, regardless. Because if you do that, you should not be surprised if more and more of your employees will suddenly come to you and say, I'm a Christian. And then another one says, I'm also now a Christian. And before you know it, you have all of them professing to be believers, and they all profess to be believers for all the wrong reasons, because of favoritism, because of special treatment. You never find this taught in Scripture. Not at all. You study the book of Psalms. Whenever David begged God for help, it is not because, God, I am a man after your own heart. It's a father-child relationship, so please help me because of our relationship. You notice his Psalms, especially his imprecatory Psalms. He was very blunt and clear and said to the Lord, Lord, if I have done wrong, if because of my sin and my transgression that these are enemies who are now trying to kill me, please don't help me, let them kill me, I'm prepared to face the consequences. But if I'm innocent, I've not done anything wrong, please help me. So here's appealing to God's help based upon right and wrong. Righteousness, not relationship. So likewise, Christian employer, treat every employee with compassion, with fairness, with justice, with honesty. They work hard, reward them accordingly. If they do not want to work hard, talk to them and ask them what is the problem. Don't use threat. If you do not work hard, I fire you. If you do not work hard, I will demote you. If you do not work hard, I duck your pay. If you work hard, I give you more money. Stop using remuneration. Be the best employer and let them see Christ in your life. And I'm not just referring to employers in companies, but also at home when you have a helper. Right? We prefer to use the word helper rather than the word maid. Sometimes when you read in the papers of how some of these employers or masters or mistresses abuse their maids, you read them and you are shocked because they are in Singapore. How could someone do those things to another human being? That kind of cruelty, that kind of humiliation, they are someone's daughter. Do you not know that? They are somebody's wife. They already sacrificed so much to leave family behind, to come over here to be in a stranger's house, to work hard, not seeing their children grow up, not be with their husband or their family or their aged parents, just to work hard and have some money to send home. And then what do you do to them? You treat them worse than your own pet dog. You bruise them. You hurt them, and some of them got even killed. Thank God for our laws. And I'm sure there are many of such employers who have gotten escape, who got away with it, who escaped, who did not get caught. These are those who got caught. I'm sure there are those who have been very cruel and abusive, and they got away with it. So please do not only limit this application to a work situation out there in the office, in CBD area. As long as you have someone who depends upon you, an employer-employee relationship, God says to you, you are a Christian employer. Let your helper see Christ in your life. Lord's Day is the day off for them. But if they want to work and they want money, you don't allow them. This is not a business situation. Pray for wisdom. There is no one formula fits all. Because your life situation, your children's situation, you, we're all different. So do not compare how you look after your helper and how the other family look after their helper. You are different. But there will always be some rules, some basic Christian rules that are common. Not every single nitty-gritty detail will be exactly the same because no two families are alike. But keeping the Lord's Day holy, that's non-negotiable. That's not from man. That's not from the church. That's from the Lord. That's the Ten Commandments. That's non-negotiable. Now, whether you bring them to church or not, that is on an individual family basis. You don't force. You force anyone to come to church, they will hate Christianity. It must be voluntary. But the one day off is something that you must enforce, for example. Because it's from the Lord, it's not from the government, it's not from man, it's not from whether the person can exchange it for money or not. Case by case, individual by individual. Stop using threats. Replace it with kindness, gentleness, compassion, understanding. And that person, better tell your children that person is not their maid, their servant, their slave. Don't spoil them. They are there to assist you, to help you look after their homes. They are not there to replace you. The spiritual responsibility that is yours to teach your children. They are there to help lighten your physical load so that you can emphasize more on your spiritual responsibilities. Then sometimes families will make sure that the helper knows where they are. Get them to eat somewhere else. Where you eat at the main dining table, they eat somewhere else. Why do you do that? Are they not human beings? Is it so hard for them to eat side by side together with your family? Is that too hard? Or they are not? Treat them as you would treat your own daughter if they were overseas in someone's home, eking out a living to bring money back to you. How would you want your daughter to be treated? That she is second class? You eat only our leftover? You cannot eat with us? Why can't they eat at the same table with you? Why? Because they are not a human being? Why? Because they don't have the same surname? You are a Christian employer. And you find that very difficult. Then the Lord says, remember. Remember what? Know that your master also is in heaven. You mean, I have a master? Of course you have a master. If this is how you're going to behave as a master, as an employer, treating your servants, your slaves in this manner, please note that there is a master above you and you are the servant. You are the slave. And he is in heaven. You are on earth. And he is watching. Know this. Know this very well. And very often when you are a master, an employer, you forget that. Because there is no one above you in your home, isn't it? You are the head of the house. You are the husband. You are the wife. There is no one above you. You basically do what you want. Your home is your kingdom. Isn't that true? You tell the poor helper what time to sleep, what time to wake up, what do you do, what do you do. This and how you do it, that is how you do it. And sometimes the poor helper doesn't even have time to be taught properly. They are from different culture. Some of them don't even speak English well. Their culture, their way of life, their way of cooking, all different. And now you want to adjust and adapt within what, 1 week, 2 weeks? You can't do it yourself if you were overseas in their position. And now you want to force it on them without any patience and long-suffering and proper tutelage and guidance. Treat them as part of your family, as part of your children, if possible, if you are aged. Use it as a godsend opportunity to reach her for Christ, in other words. Remember, you have a heavenly master who is overseeing, watching you very closely. He saved you, has he not? He made you the way you are, has he not? He is the one who made you to be an employer, to be a master, has he not? And he is the one who has given you your slaves, has he not? Isn't that what the sovereignty of God is all about? Isn't that what it means to be called God's children, where he is your heavenly Father, in control of every aspect of your life? You are not the ultimate master. There is one in heaven who is the master of all masters. And he controls and he watches. And if this is how you're going to treat your slaves, your employee, rest assured, God's just retribution. You want just retribution, right? What you do to others, you are going to receive from Him. You want compassion from God, you show compassion. You want patience from God, you show patience. How you treat your helper is how God is going to treat you. That's what it means. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. He is observing you very closely. You want him to be harsh on you and hard on you? How are you treating that person? You cry to God and ask God to be merciful and to be patient and to be long-suffering with you. Why are you not doing the same? It just simply becomes so self-contradictory. How do you expect God to show patience and long-suffering toward you, which is what you cry for, and then when the poor helper may not even dare to cry and beg for patience and long-suffering from you? Because the person dare not even open the mouth, the person may not even know how, because the language may be the barrier. But should you not do it anyway toward her, instead of waiting for her to make a request? Because that's exactly how the Lord has been with us. Patience and long suffering. You know, I know, that He could have smitten us dead just as He did to Ananias and Sapphira every time we sin, right? But the fact that He did not is an expression of His patience and His long suffering toward us. Do you not know that? Have you forgotten that? Do the same with your helper, with your employee. But it is not like the world. That's correct, it is not like the world. But that's not the norm. That's correct, it's not the norm. You think what the Lord asks the masters to do in verse 9 is the norm? It is an antithesis of what is the norm. It's the opposite of what is the norm. But that's exactly what it is, isn't it? We are Christian first. Stop using threats. Don't use the remuneration yardstick to threaten people or use more money to buy people. Use righteousness, truthfulness, honesty, patience, long-suffering, compassion. Always remember that we have a master above in heaven watching over us. How we behave and how we conduct ourselves should be the same way that we want Him to treat us. Do unto others what you want others to do unto you. A very simple Christian formula, right? That's what the Lord taught us. So you want patience and long-suffering from the Lord, so please be one. Understand the power that is in your hands as an employer. It is real, and it will impact and affect lives. Why do you not want it to impact and affect lives for Christ? Why do you want to just impact their lives just in order to get things done according to your whims and fancies, your own heart's desire? We are Christians, first and last and always. And what better way to demonstrate Christ's likeness than to be a Christian employer? For your impact will far outweigh that of an employee. You know that. An employee who is a Christian can only impact and influence those who are around him. Whereas from you as an employer or CEO, your Christian witness will impact the whole company. You know that. Just because of your position. Just like the Prime Minister's behavior and conduct impact the whole nation. The ordinary citizen can only impact his world, his friends, not the whole nation, because the whole nation doesn't know him. That's like an employer, isn't it? You can do so much more for Christ if you put yourself Christian first and last and always. And don't follow the run of the mill, the norm that the world has been doing. Because that is the way of the world and of the devil. Where threats, using money to bribe people, to buy people, they are the norm. They are powerful instruments that the devil has been wielding and using all the centuries of man's existence. That's why it is so sad and tragic when we have helpers in Christian homes who are being ill-treated, taken advantage of. You may not abuse. You may fall within the rules and regulations of our laws in Singapore. But you did not cross over into the Christian way of conduct. following the rules and regulations within the laws of man. It's not the same as behaving as a Christian employer. Do not follow the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. See your helper as a very good candidate for salvation. She has been sent into your life by your Heavenly Father, your Master above. Do not just simply see that person as someone who came into your life, your home, to assist you in material things, physical things. Wash, iron, cook, and clean. She is now someone who needs Christ. If she dies in her sin, she will end up in hell like everyone else. And now she has been placed into your world, your Christian world, where she is now supposed to see Christ in your life that not anyone in the church could do, because no one in the church lives with you unless they are your family. But this person will scrutinize your life basically in and out. Your impact can be the greatest or the worst. Because the person knows you go to church. And the person accompanies the church even worse, isn't it? You mean my master and my mistress, my mom, they are like that? At home they behave so differently. In church they behave another way. And as they listen to God's word, they know how Christians are supposed to behave. And now they can compare and contrast. And if we were to ask them, before you are put into position of leadership, maybe we should, huh? What do you think they're going to say of you? Will they say that, my sir and my madam, they are godly testimonies. They are wonderful. They treat me as family. They are so different from all the other employers that I work for. I've never experienced this kind of employers before in my whole life. They treat me as a human being. I eat with a family. I don't eat leftover food. I'm not treated like worse than their pet dog. Right? Because now keeping a pet is so expensive. Send them for grooming cost more than my haircut. My haircut cost me $12. How much does it take to... Of course, I got not much hair. Very easy. I sit down, less than 5 minutes, I'm done. I tell the hairdresser, below, number one. On top, number two. So if they use the gadget, clip on number one, and after I clip on number two, it's like a lawnmower. Finish. Less than 5 minutes, $12, bye-bye, go. How much you pay for a dog grooming? $40, $50? That is enough to last me half a year, you know. I cut my hair about 6 weeks once. So $50, half a year, for one of your dog haircut. Is it 50? I don't know. I don't own a dog. The only dog I like is a hot dog. No time for any extra. To have a dog, I'm going to go for church camp, to look for a dog hotel. I'm going to feed the dog, going to clean the dog, going to take the dog out for a walk, and then after a while, you don't know who is the master. I'm supposed to be the master. Then I'm going to bend down and clean the dog's poo. He's the master. I'm going to bend down and clean. That's why I don't want a dog. And yet, some of you treat your dog better than your helper. You give your helper a $50 haircut, take care of her, look after her, or leftover food. What you don't want, what your children don't want. You have a master above in heaven, and he's ever watching. But how will he watch? Right? You see the last part of verse 9. He says, neither is there respect of persons with him. Do you think he's going to see you as a master? Oh, he's going to tremble? He will deal with everyone the same. Only one standard of judgment. His judgment. Holiness, justice, righteousness, and fairness. You are a master. He will judge you as a Christian master because you call yourself a Christian. He's going to use the Christian yardstick to make sure that you behave as a Christian. You call yourself a slave, a Christian slave, well, he's going to judge you how you behave yourself as a Christian slave. He is no respecter of persons in judgment. And so if you think that he's going to close one eye or both eyes because you are his child or because of something that you may have done, you better think again. Do you know that the more responsibilities you have, the higher standard of holiness is expected of you? You don't believe that? You will ask Moses. The people of Israel murmured and complained the moment they left Egypt. No water, murmur. All right, Moses, smite the rock, give them water. Water came. No food. Moses, tell them, day by day, manna will come from heaven. Don't take extra, it's going to stink the next day. But on the sixth day, keep double portion because on the seventh day, there will be no manna. And so they kept, it did not stink. Provided more and more. Until finally, when God said to them, you can now enter the promised land, they said, no, we can't. We are like grasshoppers, they are like giants. The tenth spies uttered. And their faithless comment impacted 603,548 of the 20 and above young men who now decided to listen to the 10 spies instead of the two faithful spies, Joshua and Caleb. We can go in. No, we can't. And for that, God said, all of you will now die in the wilderness. You're not going to enter. They sinned again and again and again and again until it culminated in that final transgression. And that's it. Moses, 39 years, faithful to the very end. One moment of weakness and anger and frustration, whatever it was, God said, you now speak to the rock. Don't smite, speak to the rock. First time you smite, this time you speak to the rock and water will gush out and give them drink. In anger, he smote the rock twice. And that was it. He prayed and prayed to the Lord, please let me go in. Stop praying. You will not go in. But I've sinned only once. I've been faithful 39 years. No. You cannot go in. But the Israelites, they murmur and complain from the moment they came out of Egypt. They sinned so many times until finally you say they can't go in. Why is it that I cannot get the same kind of latitude? Again and again and again. Finally, Daniel, why is it that by one sin you cancel me out? I can't complete my mission. You know what God said to him, right? Why do you sin like this, Moses? I have given you so much. I speak to you face to face. You can go all the way up to Mount Sinai and speak to me. I treat you as if you are me, God. They call you God, you know that. I've given you so much for you to succeed. Why do you sin such a terrible and severe sin? More is given, more is expected, which means a higher standard of holiness. Employer, you call yourself a Christian? Understand that God expects a higher standard of behavior and conduct from you. You don't have to take orders from your employees. They take orders from you. What kind of orders do you issue out? Threats? Or kind words, understanding words, characterized by compassion, gentleness, patience? Because you know there is a master in heaven above who watches over me, and I am his servant. He is my master. And how he is going to deal with me is how I'm going to deal with all my employees, my slaves, my servants. And he will not be unjust in his judgment because I'm an employer. Faces, he's not going to care about who I am because he's a just and righteous God who respects not faces in judgment. And that is why the Lord tells us, be a Christian employer. It's not just about a company outside in the world with employees. As long as you have someone under your charge and your care, God has really dealt with the parent-child relationship. Don't treat your children as employees, please. Huh? That's what when children does housework, we don't pay them money. And we buy them gifts, not because they are well-behaved. We buy them because they are children. That's it. We don't want them to behave, then we buy them gifts. They behave for the wrong reason. They want the gifts. We buy them presents because we love them. They are children. We buy them pajamas, shorts, whatever it is, because they are children. That's it. No condition. Behave, then we buy. Don't behave, we don't buy. No. We don't want to do that. Not the right way. They must obey and do good because of their love for Christ, not because of the love of presence. So God really dealt with that relationship. That's not a master-slave relationship. That's a parent-child. But this is an employer-employee relationship, master-slave. In their context, in our context, employer-employee. And as long as you have someone under your charge, your care, especially in our homes, where having a helper is common, then this passage, this verse is for you. And whatever you have not done, it is not too late for you to make a very, very important and perhaps drastic change, so that from henceforth, your helper will see a new Christian employer. But same person, same thing, but new behavior. Talk to your husband, your wife, and to evaluate how you have been relating, taking care of your helper. For Jesus' sake, remember that person could very well be your daughter. Think about that. A human being. But they might take advantage. Of course they will take advantage. Have we not taken advantage of God in Christ as well? His patience, His long-suffering, have we not taken advantage in our naughtiness, in our slow repentance? Let them take advantage. Not everyone would. Sure, there must be a line drawn when they cross the line in their taking advantage. But let them know that you are a Christian first, then an employer to them. And share Christ with them. But above all else, let them see Christ in you by being a Christian employer to them. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, you know our heart and our weaknesses. We thank thee, Lord, for everyone that you have brought into our lives, especially for those who have helped us. Help them to realize and understand that this is someone that you have sent into their lives to reach for Christ. And we pray, Father, for every employer, that they may realize the importance of becoming Christians in their behavior and conduct in this relationship. They might be very good Christian servants in church, Christian parents to their children. But you have taught us to glorify thee in every area of our lives. Help them, therefore, to be Christian employers as well, so that their helpers and those who have businesses outside, may their employees truly see Christ in them, that how they look after their helpers, their employees, will be according to Holy Scriptures, not with threats, but with love, patience, compassion, and long-suffering. May we shine for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in every area of our lives, so that by our good works they will see Christ in us and glorify our Father who art in heaven by becoming children of God themselves. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and renew our love and our zeal and our fervency to begin afresh and aright. For Jesus' sake, hear our cry. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.